If our Lord is the good shepherd, then we ought to be the good sheep. And these are the qualities of good sheep. First, they are meek. Of all of the qualities of sheep, we notice that they are meek. That is, they are slow to anger. They are not like other animals, like dogs or cats, which are quick to show their anger. Rather, they are very, very docile, mild animals. The sheep does not bite or kick, even like a goat does, and it does not wound or poison anybody like a dog or a snake would. It cannot even run very fast from its predators. Hence, it is completely dependent upon the vigilance of the shepherd for its well-being. We might even say that God created the sheep particularly for this purpose, to be a purely domestic animal and to come under the care of the shepherd. For how would sheep ever exist in the wild the way they are? So they are completely dependent on the protection of the shepherd. And meekness, this meekness is a virtue which our Lord wants us to have. He said, as you know, learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart. This virtue of meekness excludes any use of excessive anger. It excludes grudges, the desire for revenge upon those who have offended us. It excludes the hatred of our enemies. As St. Paul says, the sun ought not to set upon our anger. That is the virtue of meekness. This virtue also underscores the fact that our help is in the name of the Lord. Our Lord said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And when we have this meekness, which is what God wants us to have, learn from me because I am meek and humble of heart, we can have confidence that God's providence shall reward the meek with protection and even with moderate prosperity. That those who confide in the help of God, those who obey the law of God and confide themselves to God's providence, will not be given a serpent or a stone for their trust in the providence of God. And so, the virtue of meekness is what will give us the inheritance of the earth. The second virtue, if we may say, of sheep is patience. The lamb goes silently before its shearer and permits the shearer to remove his beautiful coat of wool. Now, what other animal would do that? If you tried to do that to a dog or a cat, what animal would permit you to do that? Most of the time, they have to sedate animals in order even to repair a wound, because they're so quick to anger and they will not bear anything that is done to them. But the sheep goes patiently and has his beautiful coat removed, and he's completely shorn thereafter. The same is true when it is led to slaughter. And this is why our Lord is called the Lamb of God. Many animals have been used to describe God in one way or the other. Our Lord is compared in the Old Testament to the Lion of Judah. Our Lord himself compared himself to a hen that tries to bring the chicks under his wing when he was speaking about Jerusalem. But in no case is there a greater and more vivid image of Christ than the Lamb. And we see the Lamb a great deal in the symbolism of the church, and we hear it in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world, the Agnus Dei three times, and then the priest, when he turns around with our Lord himself, says, Behold the Lamb of God. And this is a great honor paid to this animal that our Lord has used this animal to apply to himself, Behold the Lamb of God. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, He was offered because it was His own will, and He opened not His mouth. He shall be led as a sheep to the slaughter, and shall be dumb as the lamb before His shearer, and He shall not open His mouth. And that refers to Christ in His holy passion. Therefore, one of the qualities of Christ's sheep is that they are patient in suffering and tribulation. They bear their daily crosses in patience and long suffering. And again, I remind you of that condition of the Christian life, is the patient bearing of crosses, daily crosses, and perhaps permanent crosses in your life, ones that will only be taken away when the moment of death arrives. That is the Christian life. If you do not understand that, you do not understand the Holy Gospel. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, Whom the Lord loveth, He chastiseth, and He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Persevere under chastisement. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father does not correct? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are made partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And so St. Paul is saying that the mark of sonship, divine sonship, the mark of being the child of God, is that God will correct you and will send you chastisement. He will send you the cross. So far from complaining under its weight, we should kiss the cross as our Lord kissed His own cross in the generous offering of His life for our sins. It also says in Sacred Scripture, and these are words of our Lord, In your patience you shall possess your souls. That is, you will not lose them. You will possess them. You will keep them. It is true that the wicked also suffer, but in their suffering they moan and complain and many times curse God. And they are not like sheep. And they will lose their souls. It says in Sacred Scripture, My brethren, count it all joy when you shall fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience hath a perfect work. The next virtue of sheep is their humility. Humility is a sign of the sheep of Christ, because we must be humble in order to accept the faith. If we have pride, pride is going to block the virtue of faith. And so humility is a sign of being one of the flock of Christ. It is a sign that we are going to heaven. And pride, on the other hand, hardened pride, is a sign that we are going to hell. It says in Sacred Scripture, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And self-examination always reveals in us a mountain of pride which needs to be brought low, and we should look to the humble sheep as a model of imitation in the virtue of humility. Another characteristic of sheep is that they love salt. And we too should love the salt of supernatural wisdom, which is our holy faith. In baptism, a little bit of salt is placed on the tongue, and this salt is a symbol of wisdom. Salt is also placed in holy water for that reason. And the sheep of Christ should be solicitous of and desirous of this salt, which is the holy faith. Remember what our Lord said to the apostles, "You are the salt of the earth." And if the salt loses its tang, what good is it except that it should be cast out and trampled underfoot? That is to say, if the clergy should lose the faith, if they should lose this salt, which is holy wisdom, the holy wisdom of the faith, what good are they? And so we should have the same devotion to the salt that the sheep do. Also, we should be desirous of the holy sacraments that are set out by the Good Shepherd, in particular the sacraments of penance and of the Holy Eucharist, just as the Good Shepherd would set out the salt block. So also, the Good Shepherd, our Lord, sets out the sacraments for us to use. The sheep also know the voice of their shepherd. And our Lord makes reference to this. He says, "I know mine, and mine know me." The sheep of Christ are therefore anxious to hear the word of God. They love to go to church, and they love to hear the truths of the faith preached, and the lessons of the spiritual life taught to them from the pulpit. And also these same truths and these same lessons symbolized in the sacred ceremonies of the Holy Mass. For what the priest is doing at the Mass, this very elaborate and careful ceremony that he goes through, is merely a way of speaking. It is speaking in gesture. And it is speaking the truths of the faith. That's what you're looking at when you look at the Holy Mass, particularly the High Mass. For the Low Mass is unfortunately very stripped down because there is not the availability of servers and choir, so it is very simple. But when you see the grand ceremonies of the High Mass, there is a message in each of these ceremonies. It is the speaking of the faith as much as I am doing now. There is really no difference, because you can speak with gesture, you can speak with shrugging a shoulder, you can speak with an expression on your face by the rolling of your eyes or by the raising of your eyebrows. You can speak with those things just as well as you can speak with your tongue. And so also the Church uses the symbolism, the gestures, and so forth of the Holy Mass in order to speak. And those who are true sheep of Christ love to see the truths of the faith and love to hear the truths of the faith in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them life everlasting, and they shall not perish forever, and no man shall snatch them out of my hand." Very consoling words for the true sheep of Christ. He also said, "He that is of God heareth the word of God." So the sheep of Christ will not pay attention to false shepherds, that is, heretics and apostates who do not preach the true gospel, but who give us a new religion. They flee from the false shepherd and will have nothing to do with him. The sheep also flee from the wolf. They will flee from anything that seeks to harm them. And so will the sheep of Christ flee from the occasions of sin, from the pomps of Satan, from all the allurements of this modern world which seek to poison the faith, to ruin it, to bring it down to ashes, the true sheep of Christ will flee those things and will stay close to the Good Shepherd, who will protect them with his own life. Like sheep, we must be constantly on guard against sin and the occasions of sin, realizing that our only strength and defense is in bleating. Bleating when danger comes. Bleating for the Good Shepherd. That is, by calling upon the grace of God through prayer, fervent prayer in temptation. Persevering prayer. This is our only hope. This is the only way we get to heaven. By ourselves, by our own natural powers, we cannot go to heaven. We will be devoured by the wolf. But it is only by confidence and protection in the Good Shepherd that we can hope for heaven. And finally, sheep are fruitful for their shepherds. They willingly give up their beautiful coats of wool to their shepherds, and they even give up their lives, for from time to time they will be led to the slaughter, and they willingly give up their lives in a fruitful sacrifice to their shepherds. And so, by analogy, we should be prompt in the works of charity. We should give our coat in generosity. And if the shepherd so wills it, we should be prompt in giving up our lives to him. We can do that by giving them up in martyrdom, as many of our predecessors in the faith have done. But we can also do it in the priesthood or the religious life. For what do those who pursue the religious life or the priesthood do but give up their lives in a fruitful sacrifice to the Good Shepherd? And so if God calls you, if he so wills it, be generous in giving up your life just as these sheep do. So in the end, let us not end up with the goats, as it says in the Gospel, on the left side of our Lord, but with the flock of Christ, the sheep, at his right hand, to whom he shall say, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, possess the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.